I appreciate Gary's lesson for the Lord's Supper. He spoke often about the need for food and sustenance, and that's what we're going to talk about this morning. God's Word, spiritual sustenance. Spiritual sustenance. In December of 2003, British tourist Thomas Henry Sykes was exploring the Australian desert when his vehicle became stranded, and he eventually wandered away from his vehicle and perished in the desert of dehydration, even though his vehicle carried 20 gallons of fresh drinking water, enough to sustain him for several weeks had he partaken of it. In February 2009, David Boucheau was hiking in the Utah desert as part of a self-discovery seminar, when he also perished of dehydration, even though the guides that were with him had ample water that he could have drank. These men died of thirst with water literally within their reach. In November 2007, Anna Carolina Reston was a Brazilian fashion model, and she died of complications due to anorexia. Essentially, she died of extreme malnutrition, even though she lived a life of relative luxury. The year before, another model, Lucille Ramos, died of heart failure brought on by extreme malnutrition. And just a few months later, her sister likewise died of the same complications. She was only 18 years old. These young women died of starvation, literally, surrounded by food. Now, I'm not making light of these situations. Thomas Sykes left his vehicle. Dave Boucheau, his guides were responsible for giving him water, and they didn't. And these young fashion models suffered from a serious mental illness. But the issue is the same. They had the food and the water that they needed within reach, and yet they perished for lack of those items. And as Gary was talking about, we all need to eat. No one can remain healthy if they do not eat or drink daily. And tragically, there's a serious problem with starvation and lack of clean drinking water in this world. And personally, I think it's a sin that we as a species spend so much money advancing ourselves technologically in the 21st century when we still have people dying of hunger and thirst. It's a 18th century problem and beyond. And that's a shame. But I don't have time to talk about world hunger. Today I'm going to talk specifically about spiritual hunger, spiritual thirst, spiritual malnutrition. For us today, we're going to talk about how we as a people lack the spiritual nourishment that comes from the Word of God. And our souls are shriveling from the lack of the living waters of Jesus Christ that's found in the Scriptures. And I point my finger directly back at myself in the subject because I admit that I have allowed myself to starve for want of reading the Bible. I don't read the Bible as I should. Since giving this same lesson to the afternoon service, and sorry, Mark, if you're here again, you're going to get a repeat, but Since delivering that lesson in the afternoon service, and prior to that, I began to focus myself in the Word and spend time daily reading because I had not been meditating daily on God's Word as I needed to. And because I'm selfish and I tend to conjure up many different reasons why I don't have time to read the Bible, why I don't have the opportunity to focus, and they're all just excuses, because the nourishing Word that I need is right here with me, and I do not take advantage of that. Now, I want it, as Robert Offord says. I want to spend time in the Word. I want to have that desire. I want to get excited about it, and I know about myself that I need to spend time in the Word because I feel the lack of nourishment when I'm without it. And I tend to travel some with my job, and you know how difficult it is to eat healthy when you're traveling. I had breakfast at the Caribou in Homer, Alaska, just a while back, and that one breakfast was pretty much all the calories I needed for the day.
It was good, but it wasn't good for me.
And when I eat junk, my body feels the lack of nourishment. And likewise, when I get back into a healthy diet and I start eating the fruits and vegetables and good grains that are nourishing for me, I feel in my body the strength that I'm getting from that positive diet. And one reason I accepted this assignment to preach, when the elders asked me to preach, I jumped on that because I know about myself that when I preach or teach, I am forced to study the scriptures because I have to prepare myself. I don't want to look any more stupid than I might otherwise already. I need to study to show myself approved to teach the class. And so I look forward to that opportunity because I get into the Word. And so since delivering this message, the afternoon service a few weeks ago, I've begun to spend time daily in the Word of God. And I benefit from that. I feel myself growing closer to God. I feel myself drawing near to God. I begin to feel like the prophet Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 15, which is where I asked you to turn. Jeremiah 15, verse 16. Jeremiah said, "Your words were found, and I ate them. And your words became for me a joy and a delight of my heart. For I have been called by your name, O Lord God of hosts." You see, Jeremiah consumed the words of God. He had the opportunity to partake of God's message. And he took them into himself in the same way that he would take food into his belly. And he assimilated the word of God into himself the same way that he would assimilate that food. You are what you eat. And if all that we're eating today is what comes out of the television, and I don't have cable at home, and I'm thankful because I'm constantly amazed at how trashy television is today. If all you're taking into yourself is that what comes from the television, what comes to movies, what comes to the radio, the gossip and the foul language you hear at work among your coworkers and people on the street, if that's all you take into yourself, then that is what you become. Because you are what you eat spiritually, just as you are what you eat physically. And so when you're partaking of the Word of God, you cannot help to become more godly, more righteous, more pure, more focused on others, and less focused on yourself, because God is love, and the Word of God enters our soul when we partake of it, and we become that. The Word of God is the antidote to the toxicity of the world. It's the spiritual Rolaids, if you will, the Pepto-Bismol that flushes out the toxins of the world. But the Word of God is not just the antidote. As Jeremiah said, it is a delight for him. It is good and it is nourishing. In Psalm 107, verse 9, we read, "For he has satisfied the thirsty soul, and the hungry soul he has filled with what is good." What is good? The Word of God is good for you. It is nutritious. And it's like the very best that the orchards, the vineyards, and the fields have to offer. It's the pick of the crop, the best that nature can provide. And not only that, but the Bible is finger-licking good. It's delicious. It's delightful to partake of. Good for you and good to enjoy. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6, Paul is talking to Timothy, who's a young preacher. 1 Timothy 4, 6. Now, Timothy is a young man, and he's preaching the Word of God to others, and Paul is giving him encouragement and giving him direction. And Paul says in verse 6, "In pointing out these things to the brethren, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, constantly nourished on the words of the faith and of the sound doctrine which you have been following." See, Paul tells Timothy, you yourself will also be nourished by the Word of God as you deliver it. You will be nourishing others, but the Word of God, more importantly for you, Timothy, will be nourishing you as well. The Bible is what you need to grow spiritually, to mature, to develop as a Christian, to build your spiritual body. It is the nutrients that we all need. The Word of God nourishes our soul better than chicken soup. It's better than broccoli, better than sweet potatoes. The Bible has the essential nutrients. that we need for spiritual growth. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, 16 through 17. I bet we can all, most of us can quote this, right? All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. We've heard that one so many times. Unfortunately, it tends to become trite. It's a shame that very often the greatest nuggets of the Bible can become or sound like cliches to us because we hear them, we in this congregation, we who are the faithful and attend the services regularly, we hear these scriptures so often. That's the challenge for us, is that we tend to take the Bible for granted. It's printed on the walls. We have it embroidered in cloth and framed in our houses. We have it printed on our t-shirts. It's on our bumper stickers. It's like some friends of mine that I had that grew up in Arizona. And the last time that I had talked with them, they had never visited the Grand Canyon. And they spent their whole life in Arizona, and they'd never seen the Grand Canyon, okay? They heard about it constantly, all right? They saw it in advertisements, in commercials. It's printed on the back of their quarter. Arizona is called the Grand Canyon State. And yet they've never seen it. And the reason why is because it was never a question for them of would they see it, but rather just when they would see it. I mean, it was literally right down the road. They could have gotten in the car and just driven there. And so because they could at any time, they never did. And that's the very same for us, unfortunately, with the Word of God. In preparing for the sermon, I went around my house and counted the copies of the Bible just in my home. And I counted 10 full copies of the Old and New Testament and several other copies of just the New Testament. I have the Bible that I had as the kid. I have a Bible that I have for training. I have this Bible that I use for teaching and preaching. I have a couple of different study Bibles. My wife has a couple of different Bibles. We even have a Bible in German. And yet for all of those, we tend to starve ourselves spiritually. And this is a big one for me. With these gadgets we have nowadays, I have at least 40 different versions of the Bible in my hand with cross-references and concordances. I can even listen to it while I'm driving. And yet surrounded by all of this, we all tend, all of us are guilty of perishing for lack of spiritual nourishment. It's like dying of thirst while standing in a lake. It's like dying of starvation while you live in a supermarket. It's particularly true of us in the developed nations that we have such access to the Word of God, and yet we do not, unfortunately, spend enough time in it. And again, I'm pointing the fingers back at myself. I know this about myself, and I've benefited greatly from preparing this lesson and from spending the last couple of weeks daily spending time in the Word, and I'm going to try and continue that. And we've often said, I'd like to read the Bible, but I just don't have time. How am I going to find time to fit that into my life? Well, if you read the Bible at a normal reading pace, where you also have comprehension at the speed that someone might read, like Chuck read today during the scripture reading, it would take between 72 and 78 hours constant. If you split that up throughout the year, that's just 12 minutes a day. 12 minutes a day. At just 12 minutes a day, you can read the entire Bible through cover to cover. We have 960 minutes of waking time in a day. Shame on us if we tell God, I don't have time for you. I can't give you 12 minutes. I can't spend 12 minutes of my schedule focused on God, meditating on the Word of God. I have to be on the phone. I have to watch television. I have to fix my hair. I have to shovel snow. I have to get some rest. We often tell ourselves, one of these days, I'm going to get around to it. One of these days, my friends in Arizona will get around to seeing the Grand Canyon. Shame on us if we tell God, I don't have time to read your Word. And what a shame it would be if we died never having read the Word of God all the way through. to have died of thirst surrounded by water. And this kind of death is a spiritual death. We die spiritually. For the Word of God is the very food that we need to sustain ourselves, to build us up spiritually, and to make us the person that we either desperately want to be or definitely desperately need to be. Now look at Matthew chapter 4, which Isaac read for us. Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. Jesus said, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." And in this passage, Christ is responding to Satan. Jesus has been fasting in the wilderness for 40 days. He's very hungry. Satan is tempting him by saying, just turn these stones to bread. And Jesus responded, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. The real food, the stuff of life that truly sustains us, is God's message. And Jesus was quoting from Moses in the book of Deuteronomy. And Moses, when he first said, man should not live on bread alone, but upon every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, he was addressing the entire assembly of the Israelites. And Moses preceded this statement by reminding them that God brought them up out of Egypt, that he first allowed them to become hungry, and then he miraculously filled their bellies with manna and satiated their hunger. And the reason that Moses said that God did this was because it's not about the food. He's saying, it ain't about the food, people. It ain't about the manna. It's about God. God is showing you who sustains you. It's about God the Creator, God the Provider. God, the Word of God, is what you really need. Moses is trying to refocus them away from their bellies onto their souls. The Word of God is crucial for growing spiritually. And Peter talks about this nourishment that we receive from spending time in the Scriptures, not just reading it, but like Jeremiah, consuming it in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 2 through 3. Peter says, 1 Peter 2, 2 through 3, "Like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the Word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation, if you have tasted the kindness of the Lord." Like pure milk that builds a newborn baby into an adult, so the Word of God builds us into spiritual maturity. In Psalm chapter 19, or rather Psalm 19, verses 7 through 11, David describes the value of God's Word. Now the entire Psalm 119 is dedicated specifically and solely to the Word of God, to God's law. But we're looking in Psalm 19. I want you to turn to Psalm 19. Verses 7 through 11. "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward." There's great reward in enjoying the honey sweetness of the Word of God. And David also illustrates this blessedness and fortitude of the one who meditates daily on the Word of God, daily. In Psalm 1, verses 1 through 3, the first psalm, we read, "How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. And in whatever he does, he prospers." Like a strong tree planted by the water, our roots will be strong if we nourish ourselves with the Word of God. So what it comes down to is this. The Christian who wants to mature spiritually must develop a habit of daily Bible reading. The Christian who wants to grow in understanding must develop a habit of daily Bible reading. The Christian who wants to maintain faithfulness must develop a habit of daily Bible reading. The Christian who wants to restore faithfulness must develop a habit of daily Bible reading. The Christian who wants to withstand temptation must develop a habit of daily Bible reading. The Christian who wants to insert positive quality or characteristic here must develop a habit of daily Bible reading. I got a good laugh out of that from the afternoon crowd. I'm kind of deflated about that one. We all need to develop a habit of daily Bible reading. We cannot be healthy if we do not eat daily, if we do not drink daily, and by feeding on God's Word daily, we receive the spiritual nourishment necessary to grow, to maintain, and continue. Keep in mind, too, that Jesus required spending time in the Word as a condition for true discipleship. It's a command of Jesus. Look at John 8, 31 through 32. John 8, 31 through 32. If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If you are really my disciple, you will spend time studying my words. And that word abide, Jesus says, you must live in, you must reside in my word. It's not an occasional thing. It's definitely not a one-time thing. It's a constant activity. It's a regular diet of God's word, God's message. In John chapter 4, verse 14, Jesus said, "But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall never thirst. But the water that I will give him will become to him a well of water springing up to eternal life." And if we could all have a spring of water within us, obviously we would never be thirsty. And Jesus is offering that spring of life to those who are faithful. But we have to stay, we have to live, we have to abide in his word. It has to be a regular diet for us. We know that the grace of God through Jesus Christ comes freely to all who ask, all who seek it. It is sufficient for all. But although it is by grace we are saved, not by works, we still have to draw near to God in order to partake of that grace. We still have to stay close to God because we can leave, we can walk away, we can fall away, we can starve ourselves. We can make ourselves thirsty if we do not partake of the Word of God. It's our actions, our responsibility. We can die for lack of spiritual nourishment. Just as a starving person becomes more susceptible to sickness and to injury and complications because he or she lacks the nourishment that he or she needs to maintain health, to repair organs that are damaged, to fight off diseases, in that same way, the soul that lacks for spiritual nourishment becomes weak and unable to resist temptation and unable to withstand the slings and arrows of the world, unable to fight against persecution, unable to stand up against injustices, unable to hold up during times of trial and tribulation because they're spiritually weak, lacking in that nourishment. Now we have no scriptural command or example that tells us to treat the hard copy of the scriptures with any special reverence. Again, I thank Gary for pointing that out. There's no holy objects or icons. We're the holy ones through Jesus Christ. This book is just paper and ink, after all. Okay, the Word of God transcends wood pulp and glue. Even if it's bound in fancy leather, this is just a book. So we do not show it any special reverence. It's the Word of God. And if every copy of the hard copy of the Bible were to be destroyed, the Word of God would continue because it is eternal, it is perfect, and it will succeed all of us. The Word of God is truth, and it lasts forever. Nonetheless, having said that, let me challenge all of you not to take your Bible, the Bible, for granted. Don't neglect it. We see the Holy Scriptures shoved up underneath the songbooks. You can't even see them. We see it laying on the floor. We see it shoved in piles of copy paper. We see it with crayon on the pages. We see it staying up on the coat rack. Some of them there for months because I'm watched, because people aren't reading it and they don't miss it if it's gone for long periods of time. We leave it behind absentmindedly. Let me encourage you to consider the Holy Word of God. Forget, if you will, for just a moment, that some people in the world desperately want a copy of the Bible, but they cannot either afford or obtain one. Forget, if you will, that some people have risked their lives to smuggle a copy of the Bible, that some people have lost their lives for smuggling or hiding a copy of the Bible. Forget, if you will, for just a moment, that this is the most incredible document in all of human history, with an amazing history of its own. And just consider it as your food and water. Think of it as food and water. Keep it close. Keep it clean. Preserve it. Protect it. Partake of it often. And share it with others who are hungry for righteousness. I was teaching Bible throughout the Pacific several years ago. And we went to the small island of Tarawa in the country of Republic of Kiribati. It's an atoll. It's a tiny atoll. And the language that's spoken there is called Kiribati. And the Bibles in Kiribati are extremely hard to get. And we had to go, my partner and I had to go through a lot of effort and expense to buy just a handful of copies of Kiribati, because there's not many people that speak Kiribati, and so it's not a big print off for the publishers. But we did get some copies, and we were in a grass hut teaching the scriptures to some ladies, and we showed them this copy of the Bible in Kiribati, and so they could read along with us in English. We spoke to a translator, and at the end of the lesson, this lady closed the Bible and handed it back to us, and we said, "No, it's your copy. It's yours to keep." And she cried for the gift that I have 10 copies of, that I carry in my pocket, in my phone every day. Treat it with respect. Now, when I was in high school and in Bible class, I had a Bible class teacher that challenged my classmates and I in Sunday school to treat the Bible with respect. Again, there's no scriptural basis for revering an object, but just as an exercise to get your mind focused on track, he said, make it a point not to put the Bible on the ground. Make it a point not to stack other things on top of it. And I admit I'm a slightly OCD anyway, and so I have since then had this aversion to putting my Bible on the ground. If I have to lay it on the floor, I tend to put something underneath it. And if I see it in a stack, I'll pull it out and put it on top. It's a good habit to maintain, so you keep your mind focused on the fact that this is more than just a myth and fairy tale. It's more than just a list of good things to remember. It's the holy and precious Word of God. It's our spiritual food and our spiritual water. James said, "Draw near to God and He will draw near to you." The way to draw near to God is to spend time in His Word. The Bible is one of the most printed, most sold, most distributed books in the world of all time. Over 159 million Americans claim that they're Christians, and yet it's obvious we are a nation that is dying of thirst with the living waters literally within reach. And perhaps the single greatest thing that we can do as a congregation, and fortunately one of the easiest things we can do, is to all make it a daily habit to spend time reading the Word of God and meditating upon it. I can't tell you how to do that. I can't tell you how to develop that habit. But I do encourage you, I do challenge you to get back into that habit, to make it a habit. Dave Rambo is going to talk to the people in the afternoon. He spoke to you and talked about the fact that there's a habit of that's a task, and there's a habit that's done through the heart. If it's just a task, it's just a checklist. And if you're just checking off a list, yep, did my 12 minutes, I'm done, then we're no better than the Pharisees, because it's just a legalistic check mark. But rather, if you make it a devotion from your heart, if you make it a showing of love toward God, then that habit is not a burden at all. It's no longer a task. It's an act of love. For those of you who already are on the Bible diet, then praise God for you. You're a strength to all of us. For those of you who are not, then join me on this diet that I have begun. Draw near to God. Drink deeply from Christ's cup, the Holy Word of God, the wellspring of living water, and don't die of thirst standing in a lake. I hope this has been an encouragement to you this morning. I hope that you will all develop that habit of daily Bible reading as I have. I've grown from developing that habit. I know that you will too. The invitation is always open if anyone needs any prayers. The congregation, if you need any assistance, if there's anything that we can do to help you, to encourage you, won't you come forward while we stand and sing this song?